it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. A very full program today on the topic of audio description. Firstly, we speak with Lauren Henley, who has some updates on the Broadcast Amendment Bill. Lauren, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Vaughan. Great to be here.
A few weeks ago, we spoke regarding the Broadcast Amendment Bill, which was about to hit the Senate. There were some delays on that front, but I guess things have moved forward now.
Yeah, that's right. So just a bit of a recap. The Broadcast Amendment Bill was being pushed through the Senate, and that bill sought to make a number of changes to the Broadcast Services Act. And that's the act that currently includes minimum targets for captioning for people who are deaf or hearing impaired. And we thought that was a great opportunity to try and have minimum targets for audio description introduced into the Act as well. So we were doing a lot of lobbying work around the Broadcast Amendment Bill, and I've learned a few lessons as a result of that. You can't really plan for things in the Senate because things are constantly delayed, but there has been progress and we've moved forward a fair way. So what's happened with the amendment bill is it has now been passed. We didn't get the measures we wanted to over the line, but we did have some success. So on the 13th of September, an amendment relating to audio description on television was put forward by Green Senator Rachel Seward during second reading speeches on the Broadcast Amendment Bill in the Senate. And that amendment won a vote on the floor during the committee stage of the debate. It was supported by the Labor Party, the Greens, the Nick Xenophon team, Senator, I'm going to butcher this name, but we'll see how we go, Getchui, Senator Hinch, and Senator Lambie. It was opposed by the government or the Liberal Party, One Nation, Senator Bernardi, and Senator Lionhelm.
What is their rationale for opposing such a thing? I mean, ultimately, what fundamental difference will it make to them?
Yeah, look, I think what we were most frustrated about was the fact that the government of the day, so the Liberal Party, actually opposed the amendment. And I think their concern was based around the fact that they've set up this audio description working group, which is currently looking at the issue of audio description on television. And they want to wait out the process that's underway there and see what it delivers in terms of recommendations about how to move forward with this issue. At this stage, they're not really looking at a regulatory approach. And the amendment that was put forward in the Senate was very much about introducing regulatory measures to ensure broadcasters are required to provide audio description on television. So I think that was the basis on which a number of people opposed that amendment. Realistically, we never expected this to deliver tangible results. We didn't necessarily expect to get the changes we wanted over the line throughout this process. But when it comes to campaign work, you've always got to be playing the long game. So what it was about for us was being able to have those conversations with senators about the importance of audio description on television and gain their support for this issue moving forward. And we've really laid the foundations for that. So what this means is that if and when a private member's bill relating to audio description on television specifically is introduced into Parliament in the future, we've already got the majority of the support we need. We've got the support of the Greens, Labor, and the majority of the crossbench. So it will be a lot easier for us to get that over the line. And in many respects, it was going to be difficult to tie audio description into the Broadcast Amendment Bill because there's a whole host of measures that were outlined in that bill relating to things like the abolishment of licence fees and additional funding for niche women's sports programming on subscription television. So it was very easy for the issue of audio description to be lost amongst all of that.
But it's still important, isn't it, to keep reminding our senators and government representatives of the importance of audio description?
Absolutely. And a couple of weeks ago, I put out a call to action on Facebook and on our email list asking people to contact Senator Fifield specifically. So Mitch Fifield is the current Minister for Communications, and he's the individual who's responsible for establishing the audio description working group. So what I'd asked our members to do was us to contact Mitch Fifield directly and really get that message across that, look, we're not happy that you oppose this amendment in the Senate. You say that you're committed to audio description and we're just not seeing any tangible change. So please make sure you deliver results for Australians who are blind or vision impaired through the process that's underway with the audio description working group. And I've been really thrilled to see how many people have got behind that call to action. It's really been the support of our members that's made this campaign work as effective as it has been.
Now, speaking of the audio description working group, do you have any understanding as to where we are with that?
Yeah, so I'm Blind Citizens Australia's representative on that working group. There's now been 3 meetings, and the first 2 meetings were very, very frustrating. It was clear that they weren't looking at a regulatory approach, they're looking at an industry-led approach, and I think we've spoken before about the problems associated with that, just in terms of, yes, okay, industry might come to the table willingly, I doubt it, because they haven't in the 20 years in which they've had opportunity to do this, but if that happens, there's still nothing concrete to say you need to keep delivering this service on an ongoing basis. So if it's introduced, then we could still lose it at any moment. There's no real hard and fast requirement for them to do it. And people who are deaf or hearing impaired have their rights guaranteed under the Broadcasting Services Act, so we don't see why it should be any different for people who are blind or vision impaired. The last meeting I went to, however, I actually saw a really big shift, and I came out of that meeting feeling very positive because they had made an effort to have the right people around the table for that conversation. One of the difficulties we'd had with the first 2 meetings was that they'd had legal representatives from the broadcast industry there, not people who were involved in the broadcasting aspects themselves, that had the expertise around the technical side of things and could speak to some of the issues associated with trying to establish a permanent audio description service. And we'd been hearing a lot of talk about these barriers that existed and reasons why they couldn't do it, but nothing concrete in terms of what those barriers actually looked like or how they might be able to be worked through. So we had that conversation in a really meaningful way at the last meeting around what are these technical barriers, and it's things like spectrum usage and bandwidth, and in a lot of ways the Australian broadcast environment is very unique, but a lot of the issues that they came up with have already been worked through in New Zealand. So we heard from a representative from ABLE, and ABLE is the body that's been established in New Zealand to provide audio description services and captioning services for New Zealand's television. And they spoke to us about how they approached the issue of audio description when it was introduced a couple of years ago and how they worked through some of these technical issues. So that was really useful for the broadcast industry and for us to be able to see that, yes, there are technical barriers, we acknowledge that, but there are ways to work around those.
So, Lauren, what's the next step then?
Sure. So the Audio Description Working Group is due to hand down its final report to government at the end of December this year. And at the moment, it's just a bit of a waiting game because we need to see what comes out of that process before we can put any further steps in place. But we do have a few more strategies up our sleeve. Rachel Seward's office has already commenced work on drafting a private members bill that's specifically focused on the issue of audio description on television. So that's in the pipeline, and it can be introduced if and when it's needed, if the Audio Description Working Group and its report doesn't deliver any tangible results. We're also currently exploring the option of progressing a complaint to the Committee on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. So that's the international treaty body that's responsible for monitoring the implementation of the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities.
Lauren Henley, thanks once again for joining us.
No worries, Vaughn.
And see you at convention.
Looking forward to it.
Lauren Henley there with Blind Citizens Australia. Now, on a different side of audio description, you'll remember that last week we spoke with John Simpson, president of Blind Citizens Australia, and he informed us that there'll be an audio described movie screening following the convention next weekend. That movie is Defiant Lives, and it's a study of the disability rights movement in Australia, the UK, and the US. It's quite an interesting movie. I had the chance to see it a little over a month ago in Hobart. One of the new features of that movie is audio description via an app, and I thought that given that convention's coming up next weekend, those of you who are coming to convention and who are interested in seeing that movie might like to know a little more about that app. It's called Movie Reading. If you have an iPhone, you can get it from the App Store. Now, it is important when you get this app to download the audio description track that goes along with the movie. And what happens is that it uses the microphone on your iPhone or iPad, presumably, to listen to the movie and find out where you are up to. And it syncs the audio description track with that. I found it worked very successfully, with one caveat. A few of us who went to the movie were going to use Apple AirPods. They're the Bluetooth earphones that work with Apple devices. They do work with other devices as well. We did discover that the movie reading app doesn't work with Bluetooth headphones. I suspect it's because it's using the phone's microphone, and it pretty much cuts off the Bluetooth connection. So long as you've got wired earphones, you should be okay. Right, let's open the app. This isn't meant to be a full tutorial, it's just a brief run-through of how to get the audio-described soundtrack. So we'll click on the Movie Reading app.
Movie Reading, My Movies, heading.
And we come up with a screen that has tabs across the bottom, the first one being...
Selected, My Movies, tab.
My Movies, and the one we want initially is Market.
Market, tab, 2 of 4. Selected, Market, tab, 2 of 4.
Okay, when we look at the market, we see...
Defined Lives, PAL version, 25 frames, button. Defined Lives, cinema version, 24 frames, button.
Okay, given that it will be run at the cinema, it's the 24 frame version that we want. So we double tap on that.
Defined market, back button. Defined Lives, contents, heading, subtitles, English, button. Audio description, English, button.
That's what we want.
Selected, alert, download this movie? Yes, button.
Okay, we download it. Okay, and then we just wait for that process to complete. Now, remember that we're not downloading the movie, we're downloading the audio description track so that we can listen to it on our device during the movie playback at the cinema.
Downloading, file 1 of 4, 15%.
Now, when you download the movie, it's worth remembering it downloads 4 files. It may take a considerable length of time, so don't... They expect this to be a quick process. I'd highly recommend if you're going to see the movie after convention that you download it before you actually come to Melbourne or from somewhere where you've got a decent internet connection. That may speed up the process significantly. Once you've downloaded the movie, you get a file download success dialog and you click the OK button. Then we go to the
My Movies tab. One of selected tab. My Movies.
In My Movies now we have
Defined Lives, cinema version, 24 frames, button. Defined, watch this movie, button.
Okay, so I can watch the movie.
Delete item. Cancel. Button.
Or I can delete it. And seeing as we haven't actually watched it yet.
Watch this movie.
Button. We'll click watch this movie. I'm not currently in the cinema, so let's see what happens if we click on it. Maybe we can hear some of the audio description.
Alert. Remember to set your display brightness. Okay. Button. Alert. This
Logo.
Application uses...
Australian Government. Screen Australia. Fade through vertical panels to Adolf Ratzka.
That's the deal with movie reading. So if you're going to see that movie after convention, I wish you the best of luck with using the app. It's very simple to use. Shouldn't create too much trouble at all. Just remember to make sure that your device's battery is well and truly charged and that you have those wired earphones. That will help you immensely. New Horizons is the weekly program from Blind Citizens Australia. It's been a pleasure to have your company over the last 15 minutes or so. If you'd like to get in touch with BCA, you can contact them on bca@bca.org.au or by calling 1-800-033-660, 1-800-033-660. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Do take care, and I'll talk to you again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of a dream. Of our dreams.